Amen. Indeed, we surrender all. Heavenly Father, as we go into your word, we've come to look into the mirror of your word today. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to be like the person who looks into the mirror of your word and is able to align their lives to align with your word. Father, we pray that our hearts would be receptive to your word today, that your word would mix with faith in us. Father, I pray for myself, I pray for my brethren, that none of us would hear your word and it not be fruitful in our lives in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we pray that you teach us, we pray that you give us eyes that would be open to your word, that you would open our hearts to your word. And we pray above all, Father, that you would help us not just to hear today, but to go out and be doers of your word. Let our lives be transformed because of the word that you would speak to us today. Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak to us, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Good morning, church. So indeed, we surrender all. Last week, Sunday, we were celebrating Easter, and we continue to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, and we thank God for Jesus. We thank God for the salvation of our souls. And in the message last week, we were looking at submission and humility, and we've just sang that we surrender all, and I pray that God would help us, that these won't just be words that we say or words that we listen to or songs that we sing and yet not be a reality in our lives. I pray that the grace and the will to truly surrender all, to be submissive to the Holy Spirit, to live lives of humility, that God would grant to us and help us to run with in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today, the passage that we're going to be focusing on is Hebrews 12, verse 1, and a bit of verse 2, but mainly Hebrews 12, verse 1. I'm going to predominantly be reading from the NLT today. So Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor besides God's throne." Verse 1 again, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." The truth of the matter is that every human being has a race set before them. And as Christians, we have a race that's set before us, and we all have a time span to run that race. We all know about Prince Philip, who's passed on to glory. He lived a rich life, a full life. And as the nation is in mourning till this burial ceremony on the 14th, I want to encourage us to be praying for the Queen, to be praying for the royal family, to be praying for the nation, that it will be a moment in the nation's history where God would even use it to draw people to himself in Jesus' name. So everybody has a race set before them. And this verse says that because we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, we should strip off every weight, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And that's carrying on. So this chapter 12 of Hebrews is carrying on from Hebrews 11. So if you start from Hebrews chapter 1 all the way to Hebrews 12, again, I encourage us, these the letters of Paul, they're not very long. Hebrews has 13 chapters. So let's revisit Hebrews, read it all in context. But starting from the beginning, it starts with talking about Jesus being the Son of God. We're called to spiritual growth. We're told about Jesus, our high priest. We're warned not to fall away from the truth that we know. And then we come to Hebrews 11, where it starts to tell us what faith is. And then it talks about the heroes of faith. And there's a list of them and the mighty things that they did. And then towards the end of Hebrews 11, in verses 39 and 40, talking about these heroes of faith, it says all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised, for God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. And then we come to our verses for the day. And then it says, because we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, because right now we're surrounded by the heroes of faith who have gone before us, it says, this is what we need to do. And you think about these heroes of faith and the mighty things that they did. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside them the way we do. They weren't living in a dispensation of grace, and yet they were able to do all these mighty things. They didn't fully receive the promise, and they're watching us, they're cheering us on. We have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we have everything that we need to live a godly life. So Paul is saying to the people here, he's saying, these guys are surrounding us. We have this crowd of witnesses. Now, this is what we need to do. He said, let's strip off every weight that slows us down. He says, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let's run with endurance the race God has set before us. So I wanted you to do some imagining with me. I actually got an image before, and I was going to show an image, and then I thought it's better for us to use our imaginations a bit. So let's just use our imaginations a bit. So imagine with me, some people are about to run a race, right? You might imagine a man, a woman, whatever. They're fit, they've been training, they're ready to go, right? And they're at the starting point, and they're going to start running this race, okay? And they're different people. Now imagine people with similar ability, right? Or even maybe greater ability, but they have these weights, you know, 50 kg weights, 20 kg weights, all sorts of weights attached to them. And they're going to run that race. How is that going to have an impact on their race? Is it going to have an impact on their race? Absolutely. It's going to slow them down, right? Not only is it going to slow them down, it's going to tire them up. After a while, so imagine I have this massive weight on my back and I'm doing some running. So it might be hard for you to imagine, but just imagine that I'm a really good runner, right? But I have this massive weight on my back. I might start off all right. I might even be able to go at pace for a while, but after a while, I'm going to get tired. I'm not going to be able to sustain my speed. I'm not going to be able to continue with the race. And that's why Paul says to us that we need to strip off every weight. We need to strip off especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Imagine again, somebody who's running. I'm not really into running. So I think the only name that comes to mind right now is maybe Usain Bolt. Okay, so imagine him or whoever your favorite runner is. And this guy is just going, he's flying and he's soaring. He's doing an amazing job. And then there's something on his way that just trips him and he falls, and everybody else is going and this guy has fallen. For some people, just being tripped up in that race, that's the end of the race for them. They can't recover. They can't finish well anymore. For some people, they might recover. For some people, they might be hurt. So Paul says, we need to take off every weight that's going to slow us down in this race God has set before us. And then he says, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to the church, because somebody might say, I have no sin. There's no sin that trips me up. There's no weight. He's talking to the church. And I want to encourage us today to be reflective. I want to encourage us to be real with ourselves. What are those weights that are slowing you down on the race God has set before you? What is that sin that so easily trips you up? So he says, we need to strip off all these things. And if you want to give the message a title, I was told that the last message, I didn't give a title. So if you want to give it a title, you can give it strip off or whatever you want to give it. So he's saying that we have to do these things. Why? Because otherwise it's going to slow us down, or it's going to trip us up, or both. Really, really important. And he says, when we strip off these things, then we need to now run with endurance the race set before us. If I've got weights attached to me, if things are tripping me up, there is no way I can run with endurance the race set before me. Endurance talks about the capacity of something to last. When I was looking in the dictionary, the example that was given, it says, denoting or relating to a race or other sporting event that takes place over a long distance. Life is not a sprint. Life is long distance. And for you to be able to endure, for you to be able to have grit, for you to be able to have the stamina that you need to finish that race, we need to strip off these things. And we need to remember that it's not just about how we start. The way you start is amazing. Somebody can start like, you know, they're not human. And it's like one minute you see them, the next minute you don't see them. But how they finish is even more important. How they finish is more important. Matthew 24, verse 13 tells us, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. We have to endure to the end. And to endure to the end, we need to strip off these things. We need to strip off these things. Recently, I've been studying the book of Ecclesiastes, and I've finished now. But in studying Ecclesiastes again, it took me back to a time in my life when my thing then was anything I could get my hands on that I was about wisdom. I was all about wisdom then. My favorite book of the Bible was Proverbs, and I would read books on wisdom, and I was just hungry to know more and more about wisdom. It was probably my late teens, my early 20s. And there was a question then that used to bug me, and it bugged me so much then, about Solomon. And I want us to look at that question in light with stripping off, okay? But before I mention the question, I'm just going to read a few verses that describes how the Bible talks about Solomon. Again, I encourage us to go and read the whole of Solomon's story again. 1 Kings chapters 1 to 11, not many chapters, okay? So in 1 Kings 3 verses 10, this is how the Bible talks about Solomon. 1 Kings 3, I'm reading from verse 10. It says, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. I hope we all know the story when God asked him to ask for anything and he asked for wisdom. Verse 11 says, so God replied, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I would give you what you asked for. I would give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has had or ever will have. And I'll also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world would be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands, as your father David did, I would give you a long life. Talking about Solomon. Still on Solomon, next chapter, 1 Kings chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 29. 1 Kings chapter 4 from verse 29. It says, God gave Solomon very great wisdom and understanding and knowledge as vast as the sands of the seashore. In fact, his wisdom exceeded that of all the wise men of the East and the wise men of Egypt. And it goes on and on about his wisdom and what he could do and what he accomplished. Now, the Bible says here that God gave him very great wisdom and understanding, knowledge as vast as the sands of the seashore. That, you can't count that. That means his wisdom, his knowledge was on another level. And this was my question, and this is what used to bug me about Solomon. With all that wisdom, wisdom and knowledge as vast as the seashore, with all that, how is it possible that he messed up and missed the mark? And it used to bug me then that how is it possible? We know that wisdom is key, it's the principal thing. And yet the Bible says that in spite of all of that wisdom, Solomon still missed the mark. He still missed the mark. And this is where the importance of what we're looking at in Hebrews 12, verse 1 comes into play. And it's really, really important. And I pray that God opens our eyes to see it and to run with it. Yes, we are born again. Yes, we're Christians. Yes, we carry the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have everything that we need to live a godly life, right? But yet, Paul says, to run that race with endurance, right? To finish well, we need to strip off some things, weights that are slowing us down, the sin that so easily ensnares us. Solomon had everything that he needed. He had everything going for him. He started so well. His resume was amazing. And you read what Solomon did. Kings used to come and just sit there and just listen to the wisdom of this guy. We know about the Queen of Sheba that came from far away just to come and see this guy. He knew, the Bible says he knew about plants. He knew about everything. He was so wise. Right? But he still missed the mark. Why? Solomon had a sin that so easily ensnared that wasn't dealt with. Solomon, the Bible tells us in 1 Kings 11, that he loved strange foreign women. He had a sin in his life that so easily would trip him up that wasn't dealt with. And that's why in the Bible, it's telling us in Hebrews 12, 1, that those weights that slow you down, you can't afford to ignore them. That sin that so easily trips you up, you cannot afford to ignore it. Why? Solomon, with wisdom like the sands of the seashore, with everything going for him, he still missed the mark. Why? Because there was a sin that was just waiting in the shadows, ready to trip him up. He didn't mess up from day one. He started well. He was running his race. He was soaring. He had so many accomplishments, so many achievements. But 1 Kings 11 tells us that when he grew old, That sin that had been waiting to trip him up reared its head and it tripped him up. Let's read some of those verses. 1 Kings 11, and I'm reading from verse 1. 1 Kings 11. It says, "Now King Solomon loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. He married women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, Sidon, and from among the Hittites. The Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, 'You must not marry them because they would turn your hearts to their gods.' Yet Solomon insisted on loving them anyway. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. And in fact, they did turn his heart away from the Lord." Verse 4 is key. It says, in Solomon's old age, it didn't happen in one day. Those weights can start off really, really small, that they're not really affecting your race. And you think, you know what, not a big deal. And then they get bigger, they get bigger. In his old age, they turned his heart to worship other gods instead of being completely faithful to the Lord his God, as his father David had been. And then the Bible describes what he was doing, how he worshiped all these other gods, and how God was very angry with him and the consequences. A sin that was not dealt with, a sin that so easily entangles. So what does this mean for us? How does this relate to you and I? And again, I want to encourage you to be reflective. Be personally, it's an individual thing to do. Be reflective. Ask God to open your eyes. Ask God to give you a heart that's perceptive to what he's saying and a spirit that's discerning. We need to see. I cannot strip off what I do not know is in my life. If I don't see the weights, if I don't know that there's a sin that so easily entangles me, there's no way I'm going to strip it off. And yet the Bible says, let us strip off every weight. Let us strip off that sin that so easily entangles. So the first step is I need to see. I need to be aware of it. And we need to go to God to help us. We need to go to God to help us. There are three key ways that we're going to discuss briefly today that can help us with this. The first is the Holy Spirit, and that's key, the Holy Spirit. The second is self-awareness, but not self-awareness that's about self-dependence. It's almost like Holy Spirit-powered self-awareness, right? And the third is other people. So the Holy Spirit, like I said, is by far the most important factor. Without the Holy Spirit, self-awareness, other people, and all that, it's not going to work. So I'm not going to separate the Holy Spirit and talk about the Holy Spirit as a separate category, because really it's all about the Holy Spirit. But as we talk a little bit about self-awareness and other people, let's have this at the back of our minds, that without the Holy Spirit, all that is just theory. So it's the Holy Spirit that makes that make a difference, okay? So self-awareness, this is talking about self-awareness. It's talking about self-reflection. It's talking about self-examination. And I'm really big on this, and I'm sure I've said it here before, that your life, you can't afford to be so busy that you never sit down and examine yourself. The Bible encourages us to be reflective, to examine ourselves. At the end of the day, at the end of my week, I should be able to examine things that have happened, the way I reacted, what I said, what were my motives, where did that come from? I need to be self-reflective. I need to be self-aware. And I need to be asking the Holy Spirit to help me to see myself as God sees me. If I think that I'm doing well, like that Laodicean church, and yet I'm messing up, or yet there's some sin waiting to entangle me, I'm in a very dangerous and precarious place. So we need to be self-aware, not about self-reliance, but about depending on the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that Solomon chose, in spite of God's warning, he chose to love those women, right? And I contrast that with Job, Job 31 verse 1. Job 31 verse 1, the Bible says, "I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman." Solomon chose to love these women. Job on the other side hand said he made a covenant with his eyes that he would not look at a young woman with lust. Judas, think about Judas. Judas, when he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, when they came to him and they offered him this money, that issue didn't start on that day. The love of money for Judas didn't start on that day. It started long before then. Judas had issues. The Bible tells us Judas loved money. He was a thief. He was stealing from the disciples' treasury. A sin that was never dealt with. Waiting in the dark, waiting for the right moment to trip him up. We can see that in John 12 verse 6. John 12 verse 6 says, not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole for himself. So there was a problem that was not dealt with. We talk about the little foxes that spoil the vine. We cannot afford to ignore these weights. We cannot afford to ignore this sin. So we need to be reflective. You need to be real with yourself today. The Holy Spirit might bring things to your mind. Maybe you need to write them down so that tomorrow you don't shrug it off and say it's not a big deal. It's important that we do so. It's really, really important that we do so. Don't ignore the weights. Don't ignore that sin. And they're different things. For somebody, the weights, the sin could be pornography. Nobody sees what you're doing. You think it's not hurting anyone, but that's what you're feeding yourself with. And it's waiting to trip you up. And if it is not dealt with, it will trip you up. The Bible says that we need to strip off every weight. For somebody else, it might be selfishness. You're self-centered. You don't really care about anyone unless it has to do with you and your loved ones. It's a weight. It needs to be dealt with. It's a sin that's waiting to trip you up. For somebody else, it might be that you're unforgiven. You don't forgive. You don't forget. And you're proud of it. Something that somebody did to you 25 years ago, you can tell them the day, the minute, how it happened. And that's how you're going to behave and express with them. And you think it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. It's waiting to trip you up. The Bible says we need to strip off this thing. In Sunday school, we've been talking about cohabitation and so on. For somebody else, it might be adultery, fornication, things that happen in the dark places that nobody knows about. But God sees, and God says it's time to strip off this weight. For somebody else, you might never dream of physically committing the act of adultery and fornication. But Jesus said, if you've done it in your mind, if you've done it in your heart, if you've done it with your eyes, you have done the act. Matthew 5:28 says, but I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Some people, it might be an addiction to stuff that you know is just not right. Maybe you've tried to stop, you haven't been able to stop, and you're just carrying on with your race, thinking it would just work itself out. It wouldn't. You need to strip them off. And God wants to set us free from all these things today. For someone else, your weights or your sin, it might not look like a big deal. In fact, it might look like a very little thing. So yeah, you might say, maybe I tell little white lies or I have a slight tendency to exaggerate. Not a big deal. It is a big deal. It's a weight that's slowing you down in your race. It's a sin that's waiting to strip you off. We need to see. There's some things that God is unhappy with, but we see them as things that are not big deals anymore. I pray that God would open our eyes to see ourselves and see things as he sees them. Matthew 12:36 says, and I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle. A version says, for every careless word you speak. Now, this is how much of a big deal it is. The words that we speak, the Bible says every careless word. You know, I didn't really mean it, I just said it. The Bible says we would give an account. What are the weights that are slowing you down? What's the sin that's waiting to trip you up? For somebody else, actually, your weights might actually even look like a strength. Maybe you're very organized, you're a planner. And so when God says, I want you to go to the left and just keep going, and I will give you directions as you go, and you're waiting because you're organized, you're a planner, this is not how we do things. God, you need to tell me the full picture. Where are we going exactly? Until he tells you the full picture, you refuse to move, right? And so you're living in disobedience. God is saying we need to strip off these weights. We need to strip off these weights. For somebody else, it might be things that really are not sin in that sense of the way that we look at sin. But the Bible tells us in James 4:17 that it says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. In the New King James. In the NLT, it says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. God asks you to give somebody something or to do something or to, it might be in your career or whatever, God opens a door, an opportunity, and you just don't want to leave your comfort zone. And you know it's what you're supposed to do, but you refuse to do it. God says, for you, it is sin. It is sin, and we need to strip off these things. And I really pray that God would help us in Jesus' name. At home, a couple of days ago, we were talking about Romans 12, verse 2, which says that we shouldn't be conformed to this world, but that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. NLT says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And we were talking about how the way you think is a function of the things that you read, the things that you watch, the things that you listen to, the things that you engage in. And we said, how do you ensure that those things that you're feeding yourself with, you know, that you're guarding your heart, that they're the right things? And we were like, we were having this discussion, and of course there were different sides to the discussion at home. But one of the things we said is that if the stuff that I'm doing, stuff that I'm watching or stuff that I'm reading or whatever, and Jesus physically comes and knocks on the door and says, Fumi daughter, I've come to hang with you this evening, and I have to change my plans. The movie I was planning to watch, maybe we shouldn't watch that one. Or the book I was reading, you know what? I'll wait till Jesus has physically left. Then that is a warning sign. And that could be a way that somebody wants to use to think about the weights in their lives. What are the things that you do? There might not be things that are seemingly bad. Maybe you're a binge watcher. And because you're a binge watcher of programs, you don't have time for study, time to get into prayer. And you are planning to binge watch this program that you've missed so many episodes. You're planning to spend 15 hours straight, and Jesus knocks on the door. And suddenly you're not planning to binge watch anymore. It might be a sign that that's a weight, that that's a sin that's waiting to trip us up. Let's be real with ourselves. Let's be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. For somebody else, it might just be the amount of time that you spend on things that is messed up. Your priorities are messed up. And God is saying, strip it off, strip it off, strip it off. For some, it might be a lack of a fervent prayer life, lack of a word life. You know, the word, it illuminates, it shows us things. But if I'm not spending time in the word, how am I going to be illuminated? So God is saying to us that we need to strip off these things, that we need to strip off these things. And I pray that God would give us hearts and a will that is open to the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. So Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. What decisions do you need to make today? What decisions do you need to make today? In addition to self-awareness that's powered by the Holy Spirit, other people can be a massive help as well. In recent times, we've been talking about the dangers of blind spots. We've been talking about the need to be teachable, and it is so key. Sometimes God would bring into your life people to help you, people to tell you about some weights in your life that you don't see, or some sin that's waiting to trip you up that you don't see, that you honestly don't see. And when God sends these people into your life, you want to be teachable. You want to be teachable. You want to be teachable. Proverbs 29 verse 1 says, whoever stubbornly refuses to accept criticism would suddenly be destroyed beyond recovery. Beyond recovery, suddenly destroyed. The person who refuses to be teachable. Proverbs 9 verse 9 says, instruct the wise and they will be even wiser. Note that the person that's being instructed is already wise. Nobody knows it all. Nobody is a fountain of all the knowledge. Solomon, with his wisdom as much as the seashells, he didn't have all the knowledge that there was to be had. Only God is truly all wise in that sense. So instruct the wise and they will be even wiser. There's a place to increase in knowledge and wisdom. If you've got blind spots, if you've got a sin that's waiting to trip you up, and somebody cares enough, somebody loves you enough to come and talk to you, be teachable, be teachable. That verse 9 says, teach the righteous and they would learn even more. I pray that God would help us to be teachable. A child can teach you something that would be life-changing for you. God give us hearts that are open in Jesus' name. So we see the wise getting even wiser. Don't be foolish. It's a foolish person that will refuse correction. And the Bible says such a person would be suddenly destroyed beyond recovery. That means that when that sin trips that person up, they won't be able to recover in their race. I pray that that would not be any of our portions in Jesus' name. I pray that that would not be any of our portions in Jesus' name. So be open to correction, be open to advice, be teachable. Being unapproachable and being in a place, and I've said this before, and it's really true, being unapproachable, being in a place where nobody can call you to order, where nobody can tell you that this thing you're doing is not right, where nobody can say, check yourself, you know, you need to readjust something in your life. It's a terrible and a dangerous place to be. And I pray that none of us would ever be in that place, and that if we are, God would help us to be approachable. Somebody comes to you to say something that they feel you're not doing right or whatever, right? Listen to them. If you're not sure about it, go to God. Don't just disregard, go to God. You can also prayerfully run it by people who you know are godly people, people that are connected to God, who you know genuinely care about you. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:14 in the B part, that in the multitudes of counselors, there's safety. The way you respond matters. Some people have foolishly responded in ways that makes people not come back to them. And yet some people, they are God sent. They are destiny helpers that God has sent at that point in time to help you because you're about to trip. But if you respond in ways that you shouldn't, inappropriately, they might never come back. And that would have been a foolish thing to do. I pray that God would help us indeed to be teachable. I heard a message a while ago where a pastor said in the church setting, there was a young lady that was getting really close to him and all that. And his best friend had been watching him. And the best friend called him and said, you know what? If you carry on as you're going to be on the news soon. And not for good reasons, right? Now this guy, when his friend said that to him, he didn't say, how dare you? He wasn't insulted. He wasn't offended. The mirror of the word had come to him, sound counsel, and he checked his life. And I believe that he could look back and thank God for good counsel. So be careful how you respond. God would send some people into your lives because the enemy, he's there. He's waiting to steal, to kill, to destroy the people that God sends to you to help you to strip off weights, to strip off that sin that so easily trips us up. Respond appropriately, respond appropriately. Someone else told me about a situation they were in once where they were about to make really bad decisions. He was about to be unfaithful to his wife, was in a spot where he was about to make some really bad decisions. And in that moment, he said all he could do was pick up the phone and call a really good friend, really good Christian friend, and say, this is where I am. This is what's up with me right now. And the friend said, stay on the phone with me. Get into your car, drive home. I'm going to meet you at your house. The friend meets him at his house, stays with him the whole day, prays with him, shares scripture with him, counsels him. And that's how he didn't trip up. Otherwise, he would have tripped up. In that moment, other people can be used by God in amazing ways. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, and that's what we're running with as Impact Group this year. I'll just read 24, Hebrews 10, 24. It says, let's consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We're supposed to be there supporting each other, cheering each other on. You're cheering me on my race. If you see something's about to trip me up, you tell me. If I see the same for you, I tell you. If I see their weights that are holding you back, I tell you, because we're spurring each other on. We're cheering each other on. We're encouraging each other. And that's what God has called us to do. The right people in your life can be a game changer. But this also takes us developing and cultivating and putting time into these relationships. I pray that for each of us, I pray for our young ones, for our children, that we'll always be surrounded by the right people in Jesus' name. And that we ourselves, that we would be good friends to others in Jesus' name. It's a terrible place to be where you have friends, you have a church family. Everybody can see that you're messing up or you're about to mess up. And yet everyone feels they can't approach you. That's a terrible place to be. We need to be approachable. We need to be approachable. We need to be approachable. God would help us. Proverbs 27 verse 9 says, the heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. So we need to have the right people in our lives surrounding us. Sin, it strives in secrecy and darkness. So sin does very well when there's secrecy, where there's darkness. So if there's an area that you're struggling with, don't keep it secret. Don't keep it dark. Expose it. And one way to do that, in addition to talking to God, one brilliant way to do that is to talk to somebody about it. Prayerfully talk to somebody that you can trust about it. Expose it. That's what it does. It exposes it. Let them get in your corner with you. Get somebody that's going to pray with you, stand with you, somebody that's going to counsel you, somebody that can be an accountability partner. So you're struggling with whatever it might be. Don't keep it dark. Don't keep it secret. You keep it dark, you keep it secret, it's like a weight that's growing and growing and growing. And it's going to keep slowing you down. It's like that sin that's getting bigger and bigger on the path you're about to run through. It's going to trip you up. Expose it. Expose it. Ephesians 5:11 says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Expose it to the light. Don't keep it secret. And if there's somebody listening today that there's something you're struggling with, prayerfully speak to someone, expose it to the light. If you keep it secret, if you keep it dark, it would keep on growing. It would keep on tripping you up. It would keep on slowing you down. Expose it. But the flip side of this is that if someone approaches you Respond in love. Don't be judgmental. Them approaching you probably took a lot from them. So make sure that you respond in love. Make sure that you're not judgmental. Make sure that you really get their back. You get in their corner. You're praying with them. You're there for them. Galatians 6 verse 1 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly, because he was talking to all these believers that they should strip off. Different people have different things that they're stripping off. That person, what they've come to talk to you about might not be an issue for you, but you might have your other issues. So we need to gently and humbly, it says, help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. He that thinks he stands should take heed lest he falls." So the Bible says that we should strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And it says we should run with endurance the race God has set before us. Verse 2 now says, Hebrews 12, verse 2, "We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." So by God's grace, let's all commit to be introspective. Let's commit to be reflective today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Let's commit to strip off those weights that slow us down, to put things in place, to get into the place of prayer, to talk to others when we need to. Let's commit to strip off that sin that so easily trips us off, so that we can run with endurance the race set with before us. If I've got all these weights, this sin tripping me off, there's no way I can focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. And that is how I can run with endurance, by focusing on Jesus. So I strip off all this stuff. You strip off all this stuff. We run with endurance, and we can keep running with endurance and finish our race well by keeping our eyes on Jesus, by keeping our eyes on Jesus. By God's grace, God will indeed help us. And my prayer for myself, my prayer for you, is that by his Spirit, the weights that are slowing us down, the sin that's tripping us up or ready to trip us up, we would strip off. God would open our eyes in the name of Jesus. So I'd like us to just close our eyes and pray. And I want you to just pray for yourself. You know how God has spoken to you. I want you to pray that God would help you, that as his word has said to us today, to strip off every, didn't say some, he said every weight that slows us down. He said, especially that sin that so easily trips us up. Pray that God would help you, that God would give you eyes that see, that you would see what these weights are, that you would see what this sin is, and God would help you, give you the strategy that you need to strip them off yourself, so that you can run with endurance, so that you can keep your gaze, your focus on Jesus, so that you can endure to the end and be saved, so that you can finish well to the glory of God. And pray that God would also use you to help others to run their race as well, that God would use you, that God would use you, that God would use you. Father, I pray that this word would not stand against any of us on the last day. I pray, Father, that the grace and the will to do your word, the grace and the will and the seeing eyes that we need to strip off every weight, to strip off the sin that so easily trips us up, that you would grant to us in the name of Jesus. We know that you have granted us your grace, but Father, the will to actually go and do. Father, I pray that you would grant to us, both young and old, in the name of Jesus. And I pray that we would run the race that you have set before us with endurance. We would keep our eyes, our focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our race, and that we would all finish well in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. God bless you.